Amen. Beautiful song, that, isn't it? Small group notes are there for those who would like them. And let me wish you a happy new year, because unfortunately I wasn't here last week. But great to see you. Great to have you here. Lots of illnesses, lots of colds and bugs going around. So, we pray God's blessing and protection upon each and every one of you. And this morning we were going to be setting Simon apart as an elder, but unfortunately, little Samuel's come down with chicken pots. So, we felt it was best to keep him away, which means Mum's not here. So, hopefully, next week all will be well in the Brownwell family, and we'll be able to share in that together next week. And if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want a Bible, put your hand up, and I'm sure the stewards will come and give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the Church Bible, it's page 1153. Corinthians chapter 12, going to read from verse 12. Words of the Apostle Paul. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I cease to be part of the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is written, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues are all prophets. Are all apostles, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. 2,000 years ago, in order to fulfill his mission here on earth, Jesus Christ had a body which was made up of flesh and blood. Today, Jesus has a body that's made up of living human beings. Jesus may have returned to the Father 2,000 years ago, but he continues to minister his love, his grace, his peace, his forgiveness, his hope, and his healing through his present body. That's the church. That's you. And that's me. Jesus has given us the responsibility of being his hands, his feet, his heartbeat, and his mouth to this world. How do you feel about that? Most of you know this already, but it's good to be reminded of it, isn't it? That we have that responsibility of being Christ, of being his body here, his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece, his heartbeat here. And therefore, if we are going to be effective and fruitful as his body, if we're going to minister like him, I think it's really important that we understand and we exercise the gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to us in order to be able to be a fruitful and effective body for Christ. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That if we're going to be like Christ, his body, then we need his Spirit working in every way. And I'm hoping and praying that many of you have heard this before. Many of this is not anything new to you. Many of you know the gifts that God has given to you, and you're using them, you're operating in them. Many of you don't. Many of you maybe haven't been Christians so long. Many of you haven't come from that kind of background where you're encouraged to use gifts and talents. But what I'm hoping and praying is that over the next few weeks and months, as we explore these in more detail, the specific gifts that come up, I want to be hoping that you'll be praying and asking and seeking God to show you what your part is that you play within this body and the gifts that God has given to you. Because if that happens, then we will be so much more fruitful and so much more effective. And we've got an exciting year coming up, haven't we? Every year is exciting, isn't it? Because Jesus is with us. You know, we don't know what's really going to happen. We don't even know what's going to happen today, let alone tomorrow. And we can make our plans, and we can have our dreams and our visions and our plans, which we believe are God-given, you know, for the life of the fellowship here, for any witness and outreach and that we do over in Moore Manor or here. But Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to breathe life into it. And we need his body to stand up and take responsibility and to be Christ in those places. So it's going to be a good year, but it's going to be a year of walking through those doors that Lynn was talking about, of extending those boundaries, of stepping out in faith. And this morning I just want to give us a quick oversight of all the kind of gifts that God has given to his church. But before we do, it's really important just to remind us something about this body that is written in these passages here that Paul says. But before we do that, I want Hugh's going to just show us something on YouTube.
Isn't it nice when things just work?
Isn't it nice when things just work? Great, isn't it? This is what Paul is talking about in this passage here. The first thing we see Paul talk about the body of Christ is this, that it's a body with different functions, just like that car. You know, it's got all different parts to it. And individually, they kind of, they're nice, but they kind of don't work. They need to be put together, don't they, to be able to drive off in the car and for it to work properly. And it's the same if you have an orchestra, isn't it? You know, it's nice to have one instrument on its own, but an orchestra is more than just one instrument, isn't it? You know, you haven't got an orchestra if you've just literally got a guitar. But an orchestra is made up of the strings, isn't it? You've got the guitars, you've got the violins, you've got the cellos, you've got the other side, whatever we've got, the wind. Yeah, the wind section of it, isn't it? Oh, the saxophone, my favourite, the saxophone. Anyone play the saxophone? Yes. We need to get someone. But, you know, you've got all those that together, they make a great noise, don't they? You've got the brass section, the trumpets. And, of course, most importantly of all, you've got the percussion, haven't you? You've got the percussion. And, of course, within the percussion is is the triangle. And, you know, you may think this is really insignificant. Has anyone seen this before? This is a gift. It's a gift to you, the church. And I was reminded, and I nearly forgot it this morning, that, you know, this may seem insignificant. And on its own, it may not, you know, seem much, to be honest. But, you know, you can do some good things with this. But you put that in an orchestra, and my goodness, it's the finishing touch, isn't it? And we may try it later, who knows? But in this passage, Paul is saying the same thing. You know, it's a body with different functions. And he makes an amusing kind of comment. He kind of says, look, you know, if we were all the same, if we all had the same function and we were all like an eye, we might have great vision like Superman, but, you know, we wouldn't be able to hear much. Or if we were like Dumbo and had great ears in hearing, we might be able to hear a pin drop at 100 miles away, but our sense of smell wouldn't be much good. And it's not very helpful and it's not very practical if we all had the same gifts and we all functioned in the same way. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? In verse 29, he sums it up by saying, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? And the answer is no. Why? Because we're all different. We're all unique. Just have a look around. Have a look around at each other. Handsome bunch, aren't you? But you're all different, aren't you? You're all unique. And not only are we physically different, but we're actually, you know, we've got these different talents and abilities and gifts that God has put within us. Therefore, we should complement one another. When you fit us all together, we should be like the car that works perfectly. We should be like the orchestra that plays beautifully. It's great to have these gifts on our own, but when we fit them all together, it's something precious and something special. So the first thing is we're exploring these gifts that God has given to his church. I want us to remember this, that we are part of a body and we have different functions, okay? That's how it is. That's good. The second thing is that this body is a body that's designed by God. In verse 18, he says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The car is designed by the designers and by the engineers, and it turns out exactly how they want it to look and exactly how they want it to run. And the church, God has got a design for his church, and he knows exactly how he wants it to run and how he wants it to function, and he wants it to function like Jesus, like we are Jesus here on earth, that we are Christ. Therefore, instead of kind of looking around at other people and thinking, I wish I played the triangle like Johnny, and being, you know, kind of like envious or jealous, or, you know, saying, oh, you know, I wish I had this kind of gift. Now, it's not wrong to, you know, be inspired by those around us who, you know, who are demonstrating faith and trust in God. And it's good to be encouraged and challenged and inspired in that way. But, you know, when it comes to a point where we're looking at other people and saying, I wish I was like that. I wish I was more like this person, you know, and we're not happy and we're not content or, with who we are and what we look like and the gifts that God has given to us, we're not confident and content in those, you know, it's easy to get insecure, isn't it? You know, we look around and we compare ourselves with everybody else. When I was at school, one of my favorite bands was a band called The Jam. Anyone heard of The Jam? Anyone remember The Jam? My goodness, there's a few old cool people here. And they had a hit song called I Wish I Could Be Like David Watts, didn't they, Phil? Do you remember that? I wish I could be like David Watts. And the reason they wanted to be like David Watts, because David Watts was a super cool kid at school who was the, he was head boy, he was the captain of the football team, he was clever, he was intelligent, and he got all the girls. And you know, when I was at school, we had a David Watts. And sadly, it wasn't me. But we had a David Watts, and I was kind of quite friendly with David Watts. And he was captain of the school football team, and he wasn't head boy, but he was clever, and he did get all the girls, which was very annoying. And I remember thinking the same thing, I wish I was more like him. I wish I was tall. I wish I was good looking. You know, I wish I had these gifts and all this kind of stuff. And I lost contact with my very own David Watts when I was about 18, but I saw him when we were in our early 40s. And I'm so pleased that I'm not like David Watts. Because David Watts was on his third marriage, and he had several different kids with three different wives. And they had only lasted 3 or 4 years, each of his marriages. And I thought, my goodness, I'm so pleased that I'm not becoming like David Watts, but I'm becoming more like Jesus. I'm so pleased that I met Jesus. If we want to be like anyone, let's be like Jesus. Let's try and look to him and reflect him and have his nature, his character, his qualities. And let's be confident and content in the gifts that God has given to us, because, you know, we will be so much more secure and so much more fruitful and effective when we're doing the things that God wants us to do and has gifted us to do. And as Paul says in this passage, we think they're insignificant, but they're not. Every single one of us have something to add. And the final point about this body is this, that it's a body dependent upon each other. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, the reality is every single one of us, however insignificant we think we are or our gift is, we are totally dependent upon one another. We are totally dependent. We need one another to function correctly. That's why our gifts are precious. Even if we think that they're insignificant, even if the world tells us that they're insignificant, in God's eyes, they are perfect and they fit together to make the body effective and fruitful. In verse 26, there's that picture. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, we grieve and with Morris at the moment with Dillis's situation. You know, our heart goes out to Morris and the family. You know, we want to see God intervene there. And we understand that getting old is a part of life, isn't it? But it's tough. And then we rejoice with all those mums who are pregnant. We rejoice with you and we look forward to welcoming in your precious little treasures. We look forward to adding them to this. You know, and it's so important that we learn to do that, where we come alongside one another, we encourage one another, we support one another, we mourn with those who are mourning, and we rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Because we're part of the same body, we are one in Christ. Verse 27 says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And I hope that you feel part of it. I hope that you feel significant part of it, because that is the truth. That when one of us isn't here, when one of us isn't operating in the gifts and the calling that God has put upon their lives, then we are weaker for it. The church is weaker. The body of Christ is weaker for it. So it's really important as we discover those gifts and that we remember those three things, that we're, it's a body that has different functions. It's a body that is designed by God, and it's a body that's dependent upon each other. So we need one another. But what are, just a quick overview, what are some of these gifts that God has given to his church? If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Page 1175 in the church Bible. And the gifts really, there are many gifts and they're varied, but they can be kind of put into three sections in the different scriptures that we have. There's the ministerial gifts, there's the motivational gifts, and the manifestation gifts. And firstly, I want to look at the ministerial gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, it was he, that's Jesus, who gave some to be teachers, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The first thing that we have here is these kind of ministerial gifts, which are very much about calling, and they're very much about role and responsibility. What I mean by that is that every single one of us, God can use us to prophesy. God can use us to speak a word into somebody's life, to prophesy over someone. But there won't be that many of us who are called to the office of a prophet, to be a prophet. Every single one of us are called to share our faith, to be a witness for Christ. But not every single one of us is going to be called to be an evangelist for Christ. All of us are called to love and to care and to guide and provide for the sheep, the church, and to pray for one, to pray for the sick. But we're not all called to be pastors. And all of us at some level teach. But we're not all called to be teachers of God's word in that way. These are kind of specific ministerial gifts that God gives to his church, and they're kind of more about role and responsibility than they are about kind of just a brief manifestation or what you call a gift of grace. These are very much, it's about calling and it's about character. And it's about, you know, God releasing these people within the body to actually serve the body in a kind of like a permanent full-time basis to encourage and to strengthen the body. You know, when we think of apostles in terms of the Baptist setup, that would be like our regional ministers. You know, be like people like the new team leader, Phil Barnard or David Chassagne, and people who can come in from outside and speak in to the life of this church and to the life of the wider Baptist church family. For me personally, someone like Roy Searle has that kind of role and speaks from a wider perspective, you know, and is able to just put things into local church families. There's one of the things I think that we lack more than anything in this country is prophets, people who can bring God's word, a timely word in this season at this time. I think evangelists, I mean, in the days of Billy Graham, and the evangelists seem to be disappearing, don't they? But how does the church, we need evangelists, don't we? We need evangelists who God has put an anointing on, and that you know that you're an evangelist, because not only do you have a heart and a desire to want to share the good news with people, but when you do, there is a response, and there is fruit, and people come to faith through it. How we need evangelists. Pastors. Well, I just want to say this morning that Andy and myself are a gift to you, the church. I think that was for you, that was. I think, you know, the reality is we are. Now, we may not be a very good gift. We may be one of those ones you get at Christmas and you think, how am I going to get rid of this? Who can I pass this one on to? But seriously, all those, what we call the fivefold ministries, are really important for the church. and how we need to see God raise up those within this fellowship. That's what we want to see. There could be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers within. Well, I know there are. Who knows what God's going to do? But these are very much about, role and responsibility, calling and character is crucial. Then in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, we've got what is normally called the motivational sort of gifts, the practical, more practical gifts. And let me just say at the start, these lists are not exhaustive. There are many, many more gifts, okay? There's many more gifts listed in the Bible, and there's many more gifts that God has got. He is very creative. But Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, just as each of us is one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, then let him use it in proportion to his faith. If he's serving, then let him serve. If he's teaching, let him teach. If he's encouraging, let him encourage. If he's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If he's leadership, let him govern diligently. If he's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And, you know, there's just a few gifts that are listed there, but there are more. And what I want to say that sticks out here is this. It is let him. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. And if it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously, etc., etc. And the word that comes across is let him or her. And, you know, one of the things that leadership should be about, one of the things that it should be about as being a pastor and a leader of a church is this, it's releasing people and their gifts. It's recognizing and giving them time and space and opportunity and training to be able to move into the gifts that God has put within them. And I think we do that quite well, but I want to do it even better. We want to do it even better because the body of Christ is not about one-man ministry. Or one woman ministry, or one even couple ministry. It's about the body of Christ being the body. And it's about releasing the gifts that are within each and every one of us and giving opportunity and space to be able to do that. And in the coming weeks, I'm hoping and praying that God will speak to you about different things and that we will be able to sit down and discern with you and then, if it's right, give you opportunities to do things. To step out in serving, whatever it may be. So there's these motivations. Then there's these manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you want to go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. You know, it's interesting. There's often a little bit of controversy around spiritual gifts that you read in 1 Corinthians 12 in particular and 1 Corinthians 14. And that's because some people believe that they're no longer available to us today. They were for the apostles, but they're no longer available now. I think that we need them more now than ever, these gifts. We definitely do, and we need to be seeking them. And these gifts in particular, you can put into three categories again within those manifestational gifts. You've got the revelatory gifts. You've got the words of wisdom. When God just gives you a word of insight, an insight into some situation that you can just speak into and it just unlocks the door. a word of knowledge, where someone, where God just drops in some information about a situation or a person that you have nothing about. No one's told you about it. God just drops it in, and you can speak into that. And again, it can just open up doors. There's discernment, the discerning of spirits, understanding, you know, what's happening in a different situation or circumstance, what the spiritual atmosphere is, you know, where somebody is coming from. You know, they may speak the same words, the right words, the words that maybe they think you want to hear, but in your spirit you discern that actually they're coming in the opposite. And, you know, it's important that we have those gifts that are available to us, those revelatory gifts. There's the power gifts, the gift of faith, of healings and of working miracles. Now, every single one of us has faith, because we wouldn't be here otherwise. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have saving faith, but this is a special faith that God releases for those who have a special job or task or situation to confront. Healings. You know, we believe in healings, and as leaders and as pastors, we pray for God to bring healing. But it'd be nice to see a bit more, wouldn't it? That God raises up people who have this anointing, this gift of healing, that we would see those things happen. Working of miracles. You know, when Jesus was here, he did all kinds of miracles. Like walking on water and calming the storm and feeding the 5,000 and even raising the dead. And if we're going to minister like Jesus, if we're going to be his body, then, you know, God wants to impart some of these things to people. Miracles. And then you've got the third area, which is the vocal gifts. You've got tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Speaking in tongues to encourage, to edify yourself, but to bring a word, a message to the church. If that happens, the interpretation of tongues is important. And then called prophecy, to be able to speak a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, in English as it were, but straight from God. And all these things we're going to look at a little bit more closely in the coming weeks and months. But that's just a quick overview. They're kind of different sections where you find some of the gifts and some of what they're about. But how do we know what gifts God's given to us? Well, I want to encourage you. If you already know, then good. That's good. And just carry on. Carry on using the gift to God's glory. But if not, I want you to do these four things. I want you to pray about it. I want you to pray and say, God, help me to know you better. Help me to know the gifts that you put within me. Just keep praying, seeking God. Secondly, reflect. Reflect on what you're sensing God's saying to you. Prayer's two ways. Reflect on God's word, what God's word says. Think about what you enjoy doing. You know, sometimes we've got this weird idea that God is going to get us to do something that we hate doing. You know, because we're supposed to be servant-hearted, which we are. And sometimes there are times and seasons where we do things that, you know, we step in and serve because there's a need. But God knows. He knows how we're made. He knows that we work so much better when we're doing something we really enjoy and something that inspires us. Evaluate. If you believe God's given you something, then step out and do it, and then evaluate what's happening. In the weeks to come, you know, if God's given you a gift of healing, then pray for people to be healed. Be sensitive, though. Be wise how you do it. But then you can go back and say, you know, what's been happening? Is it helpful? Is it fruitful? Is anything happening? Do people recognize and confirm our gifting? If God's called us to, you know, whatever ministry it is, it's, you know, do people recognize that God is on me and that God is working in and through me? So evaluate those things. So I encourage you to do those four things in the coming weeks. And finally, what's the purpose? Remind us of the purpose of this. Really simple. The purpose of the gifts is to glorify God. First and foremost, everything that we do is to glorify God, is to lift up his name and to see his kingdom extended. The gifts that God gives to his church, they're not status symbols. They're not badges of honor where we can put them up and say, hey, look, this is how great we are. No, this is how great God is. That we're able to minister like Jesus because of his grace and because he's given us these gifts. So they're to glorify God. Secondly, they're to help the church of Christ to grow and to be more mature and to be effective. That's what it says in Ephesians. It says to help the body of Christ mature. And God's given us these gifts to do that. And thirdly, they're to encourage you as the individual, to encourage you in your walk with God, to encourage you to trust in God in even greater ways. I wonder, just quickly, if you're not too embarrassed, put your hand up if you feel you know one of the gifts that God's given you. Put your hand up. Okay, that's probably about a quarter of you. Let's do it the other way. Put your hand up if you don't know what gifts God's given you. Just put your hand up. Now you're really embarrassed. But don't be embarrassed because, you know, one of the things I want us to do, I want this to be a safe place. I want this to be a safe place that, you know, because I'm serious about this. You know, if we want to grow and we want to develop and we want to move on to the next stage, then it's important that we get hold of this and that we don't stay in this kind of sense of, I don't know, you know, what God's given me. I don't know where I'm meant to be. I feel inferior. I'm not like this or that. I haven't got anything to offer. The reality is every single one of us have got something to offer, and God has given to every single one of us a precious gift and probably more than one. And, you know, I want to encourage you to be praying those prayers and then coming to see myself or Andy or your small group leaders or whatever. And the small groups is a great area and a great space for you to exercise those gifts. If you feel that God has given you a gift in teaching, then why don't you ask your small group leader to allow you to do some Bible study in the small group? Or worship, why don't you allow them to get you to play your guitar there? Or if it's, you know, prophesying, why don't you bring some words and see how it hits? Whatever we do, whatever the gifts God has given, finally I want to say this, that we do it in love. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, they're all about the gifts. They're all about these gifts that God has given to his church. Right sandwiched between the two of them is 1 Corinthians 13. And that is no accident. 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous bit about love, where Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. You see, love is what allows it to flow and what allows it to be effective. You see, the gifts in Corinthians 12 and 14, they've got nothing to do with maturity. You can be a Christian for 1 week and have 3-4 of these gifts that are listed there. It's about grace. Church, time has gone on really quickly, isn't it? If the band want to come back up. But I just want to pray for us. And I want to pray. Maybe what we'd do is we're going to sing this song, Oceans. And as we sing this song, I want you to remain sitting. And then when you get, I want in your heart to pray. Before we start, we'll just have a moment's quiet. And then as we begin this song, if you want to say to God, this year I want to move into new territory. I want to move into a new gifting, a new anointing that you have for me. I want you, while we sing this song, to stand up as a sign to God that you are serious. And that you want to really trust in him and receive from him. Is that okay? And because sometimes it's a step of faith. We have to actually do something. And then I want to encourage you just to spend, you know, as we go through these various gifts, to spend time praying about this and to spend time really seeking God and trusting him and being ready to step out, okay? So let me just pray. And Father, I thank you for the blessing of being part of this church, being the blessing of being part of this body here, Lord, and some of the folk I know really well, some of the folk I don't know so well, but Lord, I thank you that each and every one of us, you know inside out, and you love us, you delight in us. We somehow bring you joy. But we're precious to you, and Lord, I pray, Father, that there would be such a oneness and such a unity amongst us as the body of Christ here. That, Father, we truly understand that we are one in Christ. That you've called us into family. You've called us into relationship. You've called us into community. And that we're this body that has different functions, different gifts, different abilities. Therefore, we should complement one another. That we're that body that has been designed by you. Therefore, we don't have to look around and compare ourselves, but we can be confident and we can be content in who we are, in what we look like, in our personalities, in the giftings that you have given to us. And that we're this body that is totally dependent on one another. That none of us are more superior than the other, but that we're one and that we need one another to function fruitfully and effectively for you. Lord, I just pray you'd release faith amongst your people here today. Lord, that you'd lift their hearts, you'd lift their spirits, that you put something within them, that they would know that they know that you've not only saved them, but that you've called them. You've not only saved them from their sin, but you've called them here on earth to minister in your name. And I pray that you'd release to them those things, those new things that you have for them in the coming weeks and months. And or if it's just something that you want them to carry on doing, that you give them the courage and the perseverance to continue operating in the gifts that you've given them. Lord, I pray blessing upon them now in Jesus' name. Amen.